Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. Today is, in fact, the last shortened show that we have for the Royals. Now, it's not a extra short show. We get off at 5:30 today, but just want to let you guys know that today is the final show that is going to be shortened by the Kansas City Royals. The Royals are on the West Coast for the final week of the regular season, and the way that it stands right now, the Royals are not going to make the postseason. So today is the last day that our show is going to be cut short by the Kansas City Royals. We got a lot of football to get into in today's show. Coming up in about an hour and a half, Sean Marash of WFAN in New York City is going to be on the show. He covers the New York Giants. Also in the 4 o'clock hour, Nate Taylor of ESPN will be in studio. We'll take your questions. We'll take your phone calls. We'll get you ready for Sunday night football between the Chiefs and the Giants. Again, my name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Britton is here producing this thing, taking you up until 5:30 today. Before we dive into the opening topic in today's show, I want to let you guys know that the injury report is out for the Kansas City Chiefs. Xavier Worthy, he is listed as questionable for the game. The same thing with Jalen Royals. We saw a report earlier in the week from friend of the show, Nate Taylor, that Xavier Worthy is going to play in the game. I trust that report. I believe that report. He practiced last week. He practiced all of this week. In the midst of everything that's happened with Xavier Worthy, he has only missed one practice. I believe they are going to figure out a way to stabilize his shoulder. I do believe that he is going to play on Sunday against the New York Giants. Jalen Royals is a completely different beast. He hasn't been practicing the way that Xavier Worthy has been practicing. Worthy finished up training camp, finished up preseason, played in the first game, at least got ready for the first game. So I think we're talking about two very different timetables. I would play Jalen Royals if I was the Kansas City Chiefs, just because I think you need all hands on deck, but we'll see how the Chiefs play it in preparation for Sunday night football. All right, we'll get into the open here in just a bit, but let me remind you of a couple of things. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to be sure to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, if you told two people to check out the show, I mean, I'd appreciate it. But you know what? Beggars can't be choosers. If you could just tell one person to check out the show, I would appreciate it. And number three, and this might be the most important thing of all, be sure to stop by the other place with 5 area locations. Stop by and get yourself a great meal. They got fantastic drink specials. They got Red Friday specials. If you want to watch a little college football this weekend, a little pro football this weekend, look no further than our friends over at the other place. So Rob and I have kind of held off on this topic, and now is the time to do it. I want to give you guys the 0-2 stats of what it means to lose your first two games in the NFL season and at least give you a picture of at least why I'm not worried about this. Maybe you're worried about this. Maybe other hosts have been worried about this. I can only give you the sample size of it and why it does not bother me that the Chiefs have finished 0-2. So if you start out the season 0-2 since 1990, only 12% of those teams have made the postseason. That has been 35 teams out of 288. Only three teams since 1990 have started out 0-2 and still won the Super Bowl. It was the Cowboys in 1993. They had a big asterisk by it. If you remember, Emmitt Smith held out those first two games. They then fixed the holdout. He then came back, and they went back to being the Cowboys. The 2001 Patriots and the 2007 Giants. That might be the most unique team in the history of the National Football League. Now, if you were saying, well, they've expanded the playoffs since 1990, those stats don't count. Well, if you look at it in the five seasons since the expanded playoffs, the percentage is the exact same, 12.2. There have been 41 teams that have started 0-2 since they expanded the playoffs. Five of those teams have made the playoffs. Now, this is what I think is very important. Three teams last season did this. There were three teams last year that started 0-2 and still turned it around to make the postseason. The Baltimore Ravens started 0-2 last year. They were one of the five best teams in the NFL at the end of the season. The Denver Broncos, who turned things around and grabbed one of those wild card spots, and the Los Angeles Rams, that played a very competitive game against the Philadelphia Eagles and lost on the road and had a chance of potentially compete and win their division. So I think what we are talking about here is it is all a matter of perspective. There have been an 0-2 team in each of the last three seasons that have been able to turn things around and make the postseason. So I've been telling you guys this week, I have not pressed the panic button. I don't think there's reason to press the panic button right now, just yet, when discussing this team. I will press the panic button if they lose this upcoming game. There haven't been many games in Patrick Mahomes' career in which they have lost to a team that I perceive the Giants to be. I think if you were looking at the Giants' schedule, if you want to just look ahead for just a little bit, I think the Giants are on the fast track to disaster. They play Kansas City and the Chargers in back-to-back weeks. Now they get a gimme game against the New Orleans Saints. We'll see if it's a gimme. It's on the road. The Giants aren't good enough, I think, to consider any game to be a gimme. They got Philadelphia and Denver in back-to-back weeks. And oh yeah, they then turn around and play Philadelphia again on the road and San Francisco. So I think that we could be looking at a scenario in which the Giants look up and we are at the midpoint of the season and the Giants are 2-7, potentially 1-8, likely firing their head coach maybe in season or at the end of the season, removing Russell Wilson as their starting quarterback and moving on to Jackson Dart and starting a new fresh regime with a new coach and a new quarterback. My biggest point today is help them get there. Do not allow the Giants to feel good about themselves. They got dominated in week one. They lost a heartbreaker last Sunday in which they played really well. They scored 37 points. They just made one too many mistakes late, and they lost that game. The Giants are not a good football team. Keep them there. This is a team in which you should be able to run the football against them. You should be able to outcoach them, out-quarterback them, and just quite simply outclass them. If you look at Patrick Mahomes' career as the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, they probably only have one of these kinds of losses on their schedule. If we are removing a divisional game, because we all know that those games are different, the only game that I think we're talking about is when the Chiefs lost to the Indianapolis Colts. You guys remember that game? The Chiefs went on the road to the Colts. They lost that game 19-13. Marlon Mack ran all over the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs had a chance to take the ball away from the Colts at the end of the game. Chris Jones gets that phantom. Still don't know why they called a penalty on him. The Colts were then able to run out the rest of the clock, and the Colts went on to upset the Kansas City Chiefs. They haven't been upset too many times. They have been defeated. There have not been a lot of instances over the last 5-6 years or so where you could say that a team just outright upset the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what this will be. There is no shame in losing to the Chargers. I know we like to joke, and there's no shame in losing to the Chargers at a neutral site. There is no shame in losing to the Philadelphia Eagles, who have won 18 of their last 19 games. And the one game that they lost, Jalen Hurts got hurt in the first quarter of the game. There's no shame in losing to that team. There is shame in losing to the New York Giants. There is shame in losing to a team that I think is going to start 1-8, 2-8, and is a team that looks like they're going to select in the top five and basically press a hard reset on their organization. There is shame in starting 0-3 when the football gods gave you a gift in week three to potentially help turn things around. And if the Chiefs lose this game, then I'm telling you it is quite possible that they could lose any game on their schedule. Obviously, they're not going to lose every game on their schedule, but if this isn't one that you can put in your bag as a W, then it opens up the possibility of anything. You can lose to Jacksonville. You could lose at home to the Raiders. You could lose to the Titans later in the season. You could lose to the Colts later on in the season. It opens up a possibility that you could be knocked off by anybody. So I've told you guys, my message this week is very simple. I do not care about style points. I do not care about margin of victory. I don't care the how. Just get it done. You don't have to tell me what you did to accomplish the mission. Just you got to accomplish this mission. There is no reason for the New York Giants to be a roadblock in what Kansas City is trying to accomplish as a team in the micro and the macro. In the micro, it's get back to 500. It's get healthy. It's get back on that right track and start playing like a championship level team. In the macro, it's win divisions, win championships, compete for championships. You cannot allow the New York Giants to be a team that moves you off that path and moves you off that course. So I promise you right here, text line 913-586-7965, you have every right. If I am complaining about how the Chiefs won on Monday, hold me accountable. I hold you guys accountable. You will not hear any of that complaining from me on Monday. With the way the Chiefs have played so far, with their schedule, with the injuries that they have had so far this season, it is just quite simply get a dub. Get a win. Feel good. Start playing better football. Start moving in the right direction. Let's move on from the New York Giants because obviously the Chiefs have much bigger fish to fry. You got a 325 game coming up in 9 games in Kansas City going up against the Baltimore Ravens, who could be one of the best teams in football. The Lions are coming into town. The Raiders look like they're a little bit better team. You just have far bigger obstacles than the New York Giants. Please do not let them trip you up. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Sean Marash. Nate Taylor is going to be on the show today. We got you covered for Sunday Night Football. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we're going to take a look at the college football slate this weekend. Both Rob and I are going in opposite directions. Rob is heading to Lawrence, Kansas for their game, and I'm headed to Columbia. Missouri hosts South Carolina this weekend, and Kansas hosts West Virginia. We'll take a closer look at those two games. Does K-State play anybody? Do they have a bye week? They're off this week. That's good. I mean, that's... If there's any team right now that just needed a weekend of self-reflection, maybe a team bonding activity, do they have the cider mills open? Can they go on a corn maze? Because K-State needs all of the fall team building activities to get them back on track. So good luck to the Kansas State Wildcats. I at least say good luck to them. Rob has not been saying good luck to them. He has been kicking their back in at every single given opportunity. So I hope that the K-State Wildcats have a great weekend. So this is how we started today's show. If you look since 1990, 12% of teams that start off 0-2 make the postseason. If you want to look at just since the playoffs have been expanded, that percentage doesn't change. 41 teams have started 0-2. Five of those teams have made the postseason. Now, what I think should be encouraging to you as a Chiefs fan, three teams did this last year, the Ravens, Broncos, and the Rams. The Ravens won their division. The Rams won their division. The Broncos won double-digit games last season. So that is something to note. It has happened in each of the last three seasons. So I'm not panicked. I am not worried. I don't think that you should feel either of those emotions. But I do feel like this is a must-win game. The Chiefs have not had to play with a sense of urgency in the regular season. That is what getting off to hot starts and winning 15 games like they did last year, that is what that affords you. They have to play with that urgency because the last thing that you want to do is you get down 10-0, you allow that New York crowd to get into it, you allow the Giants to feel good about themselves, like they could pull off this potential upset, and next thing you know, you have already dug yourself in a little bit of a hole. You do that again for this game, and next thing you know, you just continue to compound mistakes, and you create a situation that you possibly can't get yourself out of. So I don't care about style points. This is not the BCS. There is no college football ranking poll that you need to worry about. The Chiefs just quite simply need to score more points on Sunday than the New York Giants. That's all that matters to me in this one. You got to get that first W on the board.
So I see where you're coming from, and I don't necessarily totally disagree, but we see it a little different. If it is a ho-hum win, the Chiefs are in control all night, kind of like I felt like the Bills. I know the game got tight, but they won last night against the Dolphins. 10-point game. You're not sweating it with 2 minutes to go. It's not fingernail chewing. You feel like you were the superior team all day. I will agree with you. But for me, and I'll use an example of a game last year of what I do not want to see on Sunday. If this feels like Chiefs and Panthers did last year, I will be mad on Monday. If this is Harrison Butker needs a game-winning field goal because your defense gave up a late drive to Russ, who was cooking your defense, and you couldn't get pass rush, and you felt like, all right, it's a win in the NFL, and that's exciting, but you needed every minute of the game or even overtime to do it, I will feel a little bit of a way because, and we have stat on stat for today's show, the Giants are an inferior team to you. It is that simple. You are better than them. I know it's the NFL and any given Sunday and it's their home opener, blah, blah, blah. If this is a game where you need a game-winning Butker field goal or like a 4th-and-7 stop and they're at the Chiefs 40 and they just don't have the kicker to make a big kick and ooh, it's woo-saw and win, I'm going to feel a little bit of a way that it goes that way. So do not let this year's Giant game be last year's Panther game is my only point.
I hear what you're saying, and I think that that's a pretty good point. I won't fight you too hard on it. I guess where I would maybe push back and give you a little bit of resistance is, do the Chiefs have the offense to not have one of those games? Because so far this season, the Chiefs have scored 21 points and 17 points. So if this is going to be another low-scoring potential game in which your defense would be asked to pull you out of the fire, that's just the kind of game that you were talking about. The Giants have enough on offense to score 14 points or 17 points in this game. if the Chiefs continue to not be able to get pressure with their front four and you allow Russ a couple of opportunities to hit some deep shots like he did against the Cowboys last week and they connect with those, then Wandale Robinson can have a decent game. Malik Nabers is a top five-ish wide receiver, could end up having a good game, and the Giants could get to 14 or 17. I think what you were talking about, at least right now, while the Chiefs' offense is a little bit banged up, and we'll obviously see what happens with Xavier Worthy, is what's the highest number of points you could see Kansas City scoring in this? Now, maybe you're thinking, well, I just saw the Giants' defense leak like a sieve last week, so I think Kansas City's offense is going to score. I'm just not banking on that right now. I don't know if their offense has the pieces to be able to go out there and put up a 27-31 spot. So if this is going to be a game in which Kansas City scores 21 points, that game's probably unnecessarily comfortable in the final 15 minutes because you don't have the offense to run away from anybody.
I actually feel exactly how you said. I feel like the Chiefs receiver room and their weaponry is getting healthy, or they're healthy-ish. They're as healthy as it can be. Rashee Rice is suspended. You can't undo that. Xavier Worthy is going to play. He was a full participant in practice. He's going to play. We've talked all week about what can you expect from Jalen Royals. I expect him to play. Tyquan Thornton, I know people think I dislike him. I just think he's a fine wide receiver type of three. That's a player that you can rely on, though, in that offense. And I think Travis Kelce is due for a bounce back game because he's had two games where he hasn't been himself, so to speak. And against a bad Giant defense, I think you can get to 27, 28, maybe even 30 since that defense leaks like a sieve. I don't think the weaponry is just so bad on Sunday that you got to kind of grind out a style points don't matter game. I think you can put some points on the board. So a little part of me does not want this to look like Brazil, where it was a little bit back and forth. No. This should be 27-17, you know, 24-10 type of energy. And the Chiefs have the weaponry to get to 24-27, in my opinion, despite their shortcomings so far.
Yeah, I think if that's going to need to be the case, the Chiefs are going to have to make a big play either on defense or special teams. Like, they need their defense to create a short field for them. They need their defense or their special team, especially now with the new kickoff rules. You need Nico Remijo to get you the ball where the drive starts at the 50-yard line so you don't have a long way to go. Or the Chiefs force a sack fumble deep in Giants territory that you put the ball right up there on a tee. I think one of the problems you've seen for the Chiefs offense, given that their defense hasn't forced a turnover so far, is you're asking this defense to go 80, 75 yards each drive. I just don't think they're built to do that right now. One holding call, one penalty, one drop pass, one mistake has really been crippling to this team. I think this is where you're going to need to give the offense a little bit of a boost. You're going to need to kind of create that defensive score, that defensive big play that flips field position. You're going to need that big special teams play. I think the Chiefs offense needs a little bit of a push and a little bit of a help to get to 27, or they're going to have to play nearly mistake-free football. You can't lose the turnover differential like you did last week to Philadelphia.
See, I think that spark, that big play on defense, or especially if you're talking about, I think they can get that from Xavier Worthy being back. Because the prevailing thought was, in Brazil, hey, their game plan got tossed out the window because in three plays, their most dynamic playmaker was out. Okay? Fine. I understand the logic. Week two, you didn't have Rashee Rice. You didn't have that dynamic playmaker in Xavier Worthy. The offense was going to be dink and dunk just because they don't have the Jimmys and Joes. The Chiefs, everything coming out of one Arrowhead drive is Xavier Worthy is, as healthy as an NFL player can be, ready to go. He's going to play full participant practice. So you have now some weaponry. You have now a guy that can take the top off the defense. You have a guy that can give you a spark. You have the it factor that you've told me you've been missing the last 2 weeks. So I think that spark that we're not going to just 18 plays, 75 yards, 9 minutes touchdown that you've been missing is back on the field this week. So I think maybe you can hit an explosive play or two, which will then inherently bump up the amount of scoring you do. I think this, where we differ on this game boils down to this: what value Xavier Worthy holds. I think he's a big explosive weapon, and the Chiefs can use that. I think you are worried that he's not at 100%, and the offense is going to look like it did in week one and two, which I think is fair. We just see it differently.
Yeah, I guess maybe where we're a little bit off, and I don't think we're that far, is I agree with you that I think Xavier Worthy is all of those things. They had Xavier Worthy all of last year. They still were the 17th ranked offense in the National Football League. They is certainly an improvement. I think their offense has a little bit more issues than just, hey, you get Xavier Worthy back and it's going to be able to clear up some of the other issues that we've seen. We'll get back to that here in just a bit. I want to ask you guys this question. Do you guys have a friend who is a really funny guy, but sometimes he just takes the joke a little bit too far? Or maybe you got a friend that like will over explain. It's like, man, I got it. Too much of anything is a bad thing. Excess sometimes can be a negative for you. This is why I bring all this up. Josh Allen is playing at an incredible level. And even though it pains me to say this, I think it's kind of difficult to acknowledge it right now. Even though I believe Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the National Football League, I don't think he is playing the best of any quarterback in the National Football League. I think that's Josh Allen. Maybe, just maybe, Bill Simmons had a point this summer. Remember, Bill Simmons put Josh Allen number one on his list. And his argument is, hey, I understand all the postseason stuff, but if you were talking about the way they play the position right now, who is going out there and excelling on a week-by-week basis, I think Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the league. And I'm thinking, all right, I disagree with you, but I see where you're coming from. As I watched the little bit of Thursday Night Football, and we've seen Josh Allen over the last, 18 games or so, it's kind of hard to argue that anybody is playing the position much better than he's playing it. He has been exceptional. He was a MVP candidate last year. I still think Lamar should have won it, and I think Lamar had a better regular season than him, but I'm not mad that Josh Allen won MVP. He's one of the three best players in the National Football League. But I don't know why they always got to take it just a step too far. Like, you always get somebody like me to give Josh Allen his credit and give him his props. He's phenomenal. I think he's the second best quarterback in the world. But somebody, and I mean, it's always somebody, they always just got to take it to a place that it doesn't need to go.
I'm watching the game last night. I've been watching this sport 50 years, and I'm just a fan. I'm just a reporter, whatever the case is. No one has ever played that position better than Josh Allen plays it. He's not the greatest player ever.
Bart.
No, you tell me who has played that position better than he plays it.
Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert right now is cooking. What are we talking about, Greeny? It's so early.
He's better than them. I'm saying, okay, you can't be better than Josh Allen is. Josh Allen does everything. His command of what he's doing in the game
is ridiculous.
Wait. He just hasn't won anything. If he had won anything, we'd be talking about him with literally the best quarterbacks that ever played.
Why do we have to do this with Josh Allen? I swear, we don't do this with any other player in the league. Josh Allen is playing the quarterback position as well as anybody has ever played it. What? He's having a great run, a phenomenal run. But why do we always got to sprinkle in a little bit of hyperbole when it comes to Josh Allen? This is what I think makes people root against Josh Allen and root against the Bills. It feels like the media has already decided to put the crown on his head before he's ever earned the crown or taken it away from anybody. You guys feel like when you're watching Josh Allen, like you're seeing quarterback played at the absolute highest level. You think this is the best that any quarterback has ever performed? Let's just even say remove the postseason accolades, remove taking a team to a Super Bowl. I mean, when you sit down on your couch on Saturday, Thursday, Monday night, and you watch Buffalo's starting quarterback, you feel like you're watching the greatest quarterback performances that you've ever seen. Why do we have to do this? This isn't Patrick Mahomes in 2018. This isn't Aaron Rodgers back in 2011. This isn't Tom Brady back in 2007. Why are we doing this? This is a nice run. Nice run. It's a nice run. You know what this is? This is Jessica Simpson in 06. You remember Jessica Simpson back then? Smoking hot. That wasn't the most beautiful woman I ever seen in my life. Why are we doing this? Why do we do this with Josh Allen? Can you tell me what's gained by this, Rob? Can you tell me why we've been pushing this narrative for Josh Allen for the last year or so? The greatest he's ever seen?
I mean, it's too much. It's
extremely hyperbolic by Greenberg. Best he's ever seen. I mean, come on now. We got to stop. I will say, though, I agree with the original point, and I think it. I don't know that Chiefs fans can agree with the original point. Right now, week two of the NFL, and really if you want to go back a season. So if you want to say 2024 and through week, I guess they're through week three, but week two of the NFL season, I think Josh Allen's been the best in that time period. So I don't know it's a moment. I don't know it's a flash in the pan. I think Josh Allen is a very good NFL quarterback. And I think he was a very deserving MVP last year.
I don't think any Chiefs fan would disagree with what you're saying, though.
I think there is a pushback on any quarterback that people praise other than Patrick Mahomes in town. And I think it's especially high for Josh Allen because he hasn't overcome the Mahomes hurdle. I think he gets maybe unfair or foul. I don't know. But I think he gets judged in town of he can't be this good because he can't beat our guy.
But I think that that is a very valuable part of this conversation. I don't think there is a Chiefs fan out there. Maybe there is. I can't assume. 913-586-7965. Josh Allen has been a better regular season quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. Like, I don't think that is arguable. Like, I don't know how you can look at the numbers. I don't think how you can look at the stats and then come to the conclusion that Patrick Mahomes has been better in the regular season than Josh Allen. Right? I'm on your side there. But I think we also acknowledge that quarterback play is much greater than that. And that is not how you get the crown. So again, Josh Allen is having an incredible run. He really is. I just feel like we always take it a step too far. That new album that you heard doesn't have to be the greatest album that you've ever heard. That doesn't have to be the best restaurant that you've ever been to. It can still be really good, and it doesn't have to be that. And I just feel like with Josh Allen, we have always taken things that like, oh yeah, man, he's good. We've taken things that should be like an 8, and we always push it to like 13 when it comes to Josh Allen. That this is the greatest quarterback play you've ever seen before, then you just started watching the NFL 3 weeks ago. Then you haven't been watching it for that long. If that's the opinion that you came to, is that what you're seeing right now for Buffalo, that's the best quarterback you've ever seen.
I agree with that. Greenberg was the epitome of hyperbolic. The best you've ever seen is a nonsense take. But I do think Allen, you can make a very easy argument that Allen's the best quarterback in the NFL right now. I don't think it's a crazy thing to say that he's the best quarterback currently in the NFL. I don't think he's the best I've ever seen. I think that's nonsense, but I think, I don't know why, to your larger point, I 100% agree. I don't know why people can't just say Josh Allen might be the best quarterback in the NFL. They have to say the greatest of all time, the best I've ever seen, the best ever played the position. We don't have to sauce up good players, but for some reason, ESPN feels like they do.
Someone on the text line says Josh Allen is improving and Patrick Mahomes is not. I don't think that Mahomes is not improving. I just firmly believe that the infrastructure around Josh Allen is far better than the infrastructure right now around Mahomes. Now, I know the argument's going to be, well, what do they have at wide receiver? I think if you look at Josh Allen's career, when it really started to take off is when they got James Cook playing at right now a top 10 running back level. Maybe I'm the only one that thinks that. But right now, having the ability to turn around and hand the ball off to a player like James Cook, who is having a pretty great run right now. He averaged 4.9 yards per carry last year. He's averaging 5.4 yards per carry this season. Josh Allen has scored. He has scored 20 touchdowns in the Bills' last 21 games. Being able to rely on that player and that guy being a very worthy weapon, it has transformed their offense. You can't just key in on Josh Allen. One of the complaints that I had about Josh Allen early on in his career, and it was much more of how their team was built, they were asking Josh to do everything. You were asking him to carry it 150 times. You were also asking him to throw for 300 yards. He had to play a near perfect game each and every week to give Buffalo a chance against top flight talent. I don't think you need him to be that anymore. Yeah, you can turn around and let a guy like James Cook give you 19 carries, 108 yards, 5.7 yards per carry, run for a touchdown, and you can win that way. I think right now there's only one way for Kansas City to win on offense. It is Pat has to be special. Pat has to be special. Josh Allen wasn't super special against in some of these games, but you just have the infrastructure in place. So I don't think it's that Josh Allen is improving and Pat's not improving. I think they're both really, really good. I think the difference is I think there is just much more around Josh Allen right now than there is around Mahomes. I've been making this point for years, and you've heard me say this, Rob. There is not a team in the NFL that is asking their quarterback to do more with less than Kansas City is. Not a single team. Baltimore is not asking their quarterback to do that. Green Bay is not asking their quarterback to do that. San Francisco, any team that you think is good, they're not asking their quarterback to be Superman on a game-in, game-out basis. That's currently, and a lot of it is due to injuries, that's what Kansas City is asking their quarterback to do, and I think it's just unrealistic in today's game.
So this is one of those things we're just going to disagree on, and that's fine. You're right. James Cook is better than any running back the Chiefs have. Like, you would have a parade if James Cook was on the Chiefs. I do not believe the infrastructure around Josh Allen is light years better than the infrastructure around Patrick Mahomes. I don't. I think it's very similar. Maybe it's a lean because of how good James Cook is, but I think when you look at the totality of everything around Mahomes and totality around everything around Allen, they fall into the same tier. If you were to break it down, who has the best weaponry? Maybe the Bengals and Joe Burrow, you have it won because they have given him everything. Maybe you have, hey, the Cowboys have Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, or the Eagles. Maybe you have that all those teams in tier one. And tier two is, hey, our quarterback has to be great. I think Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen fall in the same tier, and maybe it's the 13th best weaponry to the 15th best weaponry, but I don't think what the Bills have infrastructure-wise is just so unbelievably better than the Chiefs that it just everything around him is so good, and that's why he's good. I think it's a little better, but I think the fact that he was throwing touchdowns to a guy I hadn't even heard of last night, Jackson Hawes, Hayes, whatever his name is, he was making plays with that guy. Has Patrick Mahomes maybe Tyquan Thornton is the analogy of a guy he's invented, but I feel like the weaponry and infrastructure is way more similar than you're making it feel. James Cook is the only massive difference in the Bills' favor.
And I just think having the ability to run the football and having that guy take the pressure off of you, I just think it's because the Chiefs have de-emphasized the run that now we have made it seem in Kansas City that running the ball and controlling the line of scrimmage is no longer important because the Chiefs can't do it. Where these other good teams, the other teams that you think can win the Super Bowl, they all have the ability to do it. So now we have like downplayed it and how important it is in the National Football League. But no, this is a good debate. I'm happy that we have this, at least when it came to Josh Allen. I just don't know why we got to take it to the next level. Coming up on the other side, we are going to talk a little college football. We're going to head to Lawrence. We're going to head to Columbia. They got two big games this week. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to head to Columbia here coming up in just a bit. But let me remind you guys that our college football coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanners are teaming up to make every college game day legendary every Saturday. Rep your favorite college team. Catch every play and enjoy $15 buckets only at Kansas area Tanners locations. Bud Light and Tanners, from the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters. Let's head to the phone lines to be joined by BK to take a look at the Missouri Tigers as they play host to South Carolina this weekend. BK, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, T-Dot. What's good, man?
Doing fantastic. I wanted Mizzou to get game day. They didn't get game day. I think that's a combination of Sellers got hurt last week and South Carolina also lost to Vanderbilt.
I think it's purely South Carolina lost to Vandy. I think if South Carolina wins that game and they're coming in off of, you know, a decent win, this is probably the game that they're at this weekend. But instead, they chose to go to Miami for what I think is going to be a pretty horrific game. But, you know, it is what it is.
I really liked South Carolina at the end of the season last year. I thought that they were probably one of the 12 best teams. I understand why they didn't make the college football playoff, but I certainly thought they were good enough to be in that conversation last year. They got off to a little bit of a slow start. This is one of the better games this weekend. How do you handicap this thing?
Yeah, man, it's tough. I thought South Carolina was going to be really good. I fell into the Lenore Sellers fan club. Like, I was president, CEO, anything you could possibly be. I was buying all the way in on Sellers. I was more in on him than I was on Arch Manning coming into the season, just because I had seen it. Like, we had seen real glimpses from Sellers at this level. He was special. I mean, you remember what we saw last year in the game against Mizzou. That guy was amazing. So I was all in on him. I love what they bring back on the defensive line. And if you have a quarterback, you've got a defensive line, that's a really good start in college football. So I bought in. And then you watch their games, and it's like, man, it's just not the same team that it was a year ago. And I undersold what they had lost, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I think Missouri's the better football team. So I come into this week, and I think the line's a little high if Sellers is going to be playing, but I think this is probably pretty close to a touchdown game in favor of Mizzou. That's how I see it. Are you on a similar side there?
Yeah, I do think the line's a little bit high. I was telling Rob early in the week, I told him I thought the play was to bet South Carolina plus the 13, and then if we got good news about Sellers, to then bet Missouri and whatever it is and try to hope that you could find that middle somewhere. I do think Missouri is better than South Carolina. It's a home night game in conference. I think you always got to side with the home team. But South Carolina and Mizzou are definitely in very similar weight classes that I think in some ways this is a coin flip game.
Yep. Yeah, there's a few of those on Mizzou's schedule this year. So the thing about this game, C-Dot, is if you were to lose it, it basically eliminates any of your margin for error the rest of the way. It's as close to a must win for Mizzou to be able to accomplish the goals that it set out as you can have without actually truly being a must win, because you haven't lost a game yet. So there's still the ability to get yourself back on track with the expansion of the college football playoffs. So it's a huge one. It's also a series that has provided us so many memorable moments already. I mean, if you were going to say, hey, who is Mizzou's true rival in the SEC? I have consistently pointed to South Carolina, their peer programs. They both kind of feel like outcasts relative to the rest of the conference. They don't feel like traditional powers in the SEC. They're always looking for that respect from the teams that have been there for 100 years. So it is one of those games that means a lot to both fan bases. And for both of these teams, it means a ton to be able to either South Carolina get their season back on track, or for Mizzou to give themselves a feather in the cap of a real legitimate win that everybody will recognize nationally.
I'm looking at Missouri's schedule, and I think that's a really good point that you mentioned about South Carolina. I mean, they have a stretch there where I think people were kind of looking at it like, oh, you know, hey, they've got one of the easier schedules in the SEC. Alabama, Auburn, Vanderbilt, A&M, and on the road against Oklahoma. I'm not going to say it's the toughest schedule in the SEC. It's certainly not a cakewalk schedule.
This is the thing about the SEC this year. I don't think there is a truly elite team in the conference right now. I think there are probably 10 to 12 teams, though, that on any given day, they can beat just about anybody. So it actually has made Missouri's schedule more difficult, because they don't play any of those teams that we assumed coming into the season were going to be truly elite. Like, they didn't have Georgia on their schedule. They didn't have Texas on their schedule. That was never a problem for them. But they've got a lot of these teams that are in that middle, the 4 to 10 range in the conference on their schedule, including Oklahoma, including Auburn. And those games have become much more difficult. That, by the way, of the non-Mizzou games this weekend, Indiana versus Illinois and Oklahoma versus Auburn, those are the two to me that are maybe the most intriguing.
That is our guy, BK, joining us on the show today to take a closer look at the Missouri Tigers as they play host to South Carolina. I think I read, BK, that this is the third night game that Missouri has had since COVID. They just don't get a lot of these games in Columbia.
I'm going to be there for it, C-Dot. It's my first Mizzou game in a minute. I'm really looking forward to being there. Yeah, it's the last Mizzou game, I think, that was a night game was in conference against Florida. The really good finish, 4th-and-13, the Luther Burden play. I was in attendance for that one. I'll be in attendance for this one. So I'm looking forward to being there. Should be a really good environment. I think it's a blackout, too.
All right. So well,
be a good one.
I will see you there. I will be there as well, man. So we'll run into each other, man. I appreciate you popping on today.
Absolutely, man. Good to talk with you.
Absolutely. That is BK joining us on the show today for the MU side of things. Remember, our college football coverage on Fridays is brought to you by Tanner's. If you want to stop by, get yourself a $15 bucket of Bud Light. Go stop by any Kansas area Tanner's. All right, we're talking about Kansas Tanner's. Let's talk about the Kansas Jayhawks. Rob, when was the last time that KU was a comfortable home favorite in conference play? I don't know when that's been the case, but it's what, 13.5 right now? Vegas thinks that the Jayhawks are going to put it on the Mountaineers this weekend.
First off, if you're a gambler, I hate this number. 13.5 is crazy. Like, 13.5 is so many points for a team that beat Pitt last weekend. That number feels high.
You'd be crying about getting no respect. Now they give you all the respect, and now you hate the number.
Getting a big number against West Virginia is not the definition of respect, by the way. But I think I saw this article on 24/7. This is like the highest line, the biggest line since 2009 in Lawrence.
That makes sense. This
is not a thing that KU fans have experienced all that often at home. Just the expectation that you're going to thump someone in conference at home.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. I mean, that's the biggest spread of any team in the Big 12. I mean, it's comparable to Colorado and Wyoming. I just don't really know why you would bet any money on Colorado with the way that they looked last week. Again, the expectation is that you guys are going to take care of business. I would guess, Rob, that you have to feel very confident in your team. I know they lost their last game, but you get a bye week. It feels like you at least have some stability at quarterback for this season. I think KU's talent level is a little bit better than maybe we anticipated. If KU puts together the effort that they put at Missouri, they're going to be able to knock off a lot of teams in the Big 12 this year.
I remember after the game in Columbia, obviously I was disappointed. Kansas lost. They got outplayed by Missouri. All those things are 100% true. I'm not sitting here making excuses. Missouri was the better team. Period. End of discussion. But I walked out of that game kind of encouraged by Kansas' chances to be a threat in the Big 12 because their schedule is kind of advantageous for them to make some noise at the top of the league. The teams that we feel like are, you know, Big 12 title contenders, I mean, we don't feel that way about K-State anymore. It's basically Iowa State, Utah, Texas Tech. Then there's kind of a fall off. I guess maybe you'd put Baylor in this category, Arizona State. But KU doesn't play Baylor and Arizona State. So now, if you're KU, you can start gobbling up wins against lesser opponents. You probably don't make it to Arlington and make it to the Big 12 title game. But there's no reason you can't be a salty 8-4, 9-3, and suddenly there's a lot of energy and momentum for next year type of team. Because you know as well as I do, Carrington, 9-win seasons in college football are nothing to sneeze at. There is value in that, and KU with their schedule, and if they play the way they did in Columbia, can easily do that in the Big 12.
I just now noticed that I pulled up KU's schedule. They have a bye week before the game against K-State?
K-State also has a bye, though.
Okay, all right, I wasn't sure.
Both teams get a bye before the rivalry
game.
Okay,
I just had the KU, because I was about to say, if you can't beat this K-State team and you're coming off a bye, you got to give that money back to David Booth. I'm serious. You got to give it back. All $300 million, one by one, you need to give the money back if you can't beat this year's version of the Wildcats. We love Derek Young on the show. Remember, he was trying to spin it like it's a positive now that they're really going to lock in for the KU game. A whole lot of rationalization going over on the Manhattan side of things. Now, I can't pull for the Jayhawks. I can't. But I am kind of intrigued if KU can pull off the upset this year. Some people just want to see the world burn. I just want to be on social media and see what the energy could potentially be like for the first time since 2008.
It's been 16 years.
Since Todd Reesing was in college. Todd Reesing was in school the last time the KU beat K-State in a football game. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, let's talk about the New York Giants. I have no clue what to expect from their quarterback. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's the Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.